Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. You're listening to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbits broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. Oh, my gosh, I am so looking forward to today. I am looking forward to next Friday as well, because do you know what that day is? It is April Fool's Day, and I hope you are hearing me snapping. All right, so I actually can talk quite a bit today because I've done a rehearsal of it. I've done all the calculations. I should have enough to talk at least a little bit slower. Not as much as I did. I'll still be talking fast like I normally do, but because I feel like I'm rushed. But I know I won't be. I can trash that. I know I won't be as rushed because everything's kind of basically planned out. I'm actually really looking forward to today, and I'm really looking forward to next Friday because we are so close to finishing this book. I'm really glad that I'm reading this to you guys, and I am looking forward to the next book because if you weren't paying attention, I think last Friday I told you guys that I finished writing a fourth installment to the Nessus World book set. Now, originally it was going to be a trilogy, but I had an idea for a fourth book that would be in relation to the book that I'm reading to you now, The Death of Her. And it's such a good book, and I'm really looking forward to reading that one next, because I actually don't remember what book I was going to read next after this one, but now that I know what book I'm going to be using next, I am super psyched. Oh my gosh, this next book is so incredible. But like the jumble of it, like the main characters for the next book, it's so. Oh man, I best be giving you guys the details next Friday, considering next Friday is going to be the last day for the death of her. I'm really excited though. This is really cool. If you're just now tuning in, you don't realize you're just now entering the world of a book collection I've written. I've written these books. So today is like the second to last reading of The Death of Her. Now, I am actually going to read the blurb that I've created. I've actually found out years ago, I remember looking up the difference between blurbs and synopses. Synopses is basically like just a longer version of a story description, because a synopsis is basically giving an introduction to the whole book to publishers and all that, whereas blurbs are just really quick, short descriptions. And over the years, like, I've forgotten what the differences were. And so this week I looked it up one more time, and I actually found a blog that actually gave me a pretty detailed description, the pretty detailed difference between the two. And it made me so relieved that I now know what I can call my descriptions. They're called blurbs. All right, so I'm going to read the blurb to you guys for The Death of Her, and then I think I might talk a little bit of what happened in the previous reading, which was last Friday. Now, I do want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up. I am actually compiling a video on my computer, which is where I'm reading off my book to you guys. So if ever there's a loud sound in the background, that is because the completion of it is done, or the compiling of it is done, and I just need to, say goodbye to that particular browser and then just close it. You guys don't have to worry about it. I just wanted to let you guys know that if you do hear a sound in the background, it's because that system is finally done compiling my video. So I actually have, I have 3 minutes left to tell you guys what happened in the last Friday, and I know that's not going to work. But anyways, let's see if I can remember. That was okay. So what happened last Friday in the reading. Oh, I was going to read the blurb to you guys. Well, too late for that. Sorry. I don't like breaking promises, but I'm going to have to do this time. Let's see. So what happened last Friday was that Lauren finally confessed to the junior class principal of her talents that she can see and talk to ghosts. And it turns out that Principal Griffith is actually connected to the Nessus family. She's like an honorary member because she can actually create psi balls, which are basically energy balls that you can create within the energy of the air and surrounding you and all that jazz. It's really cool, and I have yet to see it happen in real life, but I know it can be done. I've actually seen it done in films, actually. But basically after that, she sees another ghost, and this ghost happens to know the principal. This ghost, her name is Noreen, and she basically gives Lauren a little bit more comfort of having this talent, I should say, even though she's had this talent since she was six. And she actually helps Lauren, they both help each other find another Nessus talent in her class, and it happens to be someone she knows. I ended the reading Maddie finally talks to Lauren. Let me check the timing. Oh, whoops. Move that somewhere else. Okay. Let me check the timing real quick. Oh, yeah, no, I need to start reading. All right, so we basically ended it with Lauren arguing with Maddie because Maddie has basically just told her secret to pretty much out in the open where people can hear them. And she runs off, bumps into Patrick, and basically Patrick is like telling her friend that she should go away because Lauren's not in the mood to talk. and that's where we start. Ooh, ow, my butt. All right. Let's start, shall we? I went through the same thing 5 years ago, Patrick commented. Our secrets aren't important to certain people, even if they think it's a blessing in disguise. She eyed him. Lauren knew then that she had to tell him. They were both in danger. She could feel it. Something didn't seem right. Have you heard of Sensi Industries? Who hasn't? They're the next Amazon, sort of. Patrick rolled his eyes. What about them?
They seem to have a secret organization, and they're recruiting people all over the country, apparently.
Really? What kind of people?
Like me? And you?
What do you mean? She saw him shiver. She did the same. Lauren observed their area next, spotting a ghost.
Did someone close to you die recently?
Patrick nodded with narrowed brows.
Who?
My Uncle Robert. The ghost smiled, acknowledging the name. His uncle told her what he wanted Patrick to know.
He says you should consider drawing with ashes.
She smiled when her friend stared at her in shock.
And joining with me in this secret organization.
What? My uncle would never tell me that stuff. He didn't even know.
He does now.
She paused to let his uncle say more.
And that little Nikki isn't going to disappear.
Patrick grunted, but then he laughed. Holy cow! He grips his head with wide eyes. This is insane. You can see ghosts. Lauren bit her upper lip nervously.
So frickin' cool.
He glanced around. Not a person could be seen. Over here, he whispered, hastening to the school mascot, a lemur statue.
What's yours?
Patrick grinned. Flicking a finger, a flame appeared at the end. He burned a smiley face on their mascot's leg.
That's amazing! You're like a torch!
Sort of, but not in the hero sense. I can't seem to get that firepower. Sorry, I messed that up. I can't seem to get that kind of firepower.
How long have you had it?
since middle school, there was an accent that my uncles, my other uncle, I have four, including Uncle Robert, they talked about their talents a while longer. After a while, they were too into a discussion. A green CRV pulled up not far from them. The driver parked it before one of the passengers opened a window. That passenger observed her and Patrick. "Not to mention the blue is so much better," he nodded. "I mean, really, a pink parasol with a green dossier is just clashing."
"Yeah, but the file should have been destroyed in the first place. Detective Jenkins knew better."
"And she knew better to keep the secret from her brother."
He winced, remembering more of the story.
"Time sure flies fast."
"Oh, sorry. I just messed that up.
I forgot about that," he mumbled.
Patrick eyed his watch.
"Oh my gosh, it's past 4.
Lauren laughed.
"Time sure flies fast," she smiled. "Do you have a phone?"
He nodded and pulled it out.
"I need to call my sister. She's paranoid about my safety."
Lauren rolled her eyes.
"Does she know about your, you know?"
She shook her head. Lauren punched in the number, but before she could call, a small dart flew between them. She gasped and looked in the direction it came from.
"Merde," the passenger thought. "I missed."
Patrick observed the dart, which had bounced on a concrete wall and landed on the ground. He noticed a piece of blue plume on one end. His eyes widened as he realized what it was. He hurried to Lauren.
"I think that was a trank dart,"
he whispered.
Her eyes widened in shock.
"Who are they?"
"The others," she whispered hoarsely. "How did they find us?"
"Others? Others of what?"
"I think they're just called the others. We have to get out of here."
She deleted her sister's number as she pulled out the business card. The second she heard a voice, she pressed 4357.
"What's your emergency?"
a young woman answered.
"The others found me, my friend. We don't know what to do."
Patrick narrowed his brows at her. What talents do you two possess? Can they help defend?"
"His can. He's a pyro."
"Hang on. I'll see what we can do." The Nessus member put her on hold. At that exact moment, another dart flew. It missed Patrick by an inch. He gasped and came closer to Lauren.
"I think they're trying to get me. Why? What's going on, Lauren?"
"I wish I knew."
Another tranquilizer dart flew and dodged its path.
"Ma'am?"
the young woman said, taking her off hold.
"They're shooting trank darts at him. I don't understand why."
After one more dart flew, Patrick grew angry, dodging its path once more. His hand twitched. A fireball formed before he threw it. Scorch marks appeared on their CRV. Her eyes widened.
Never mind. Now I do."
"We have your location. Someone is coming to you. Get him and yourself somewhere they can't shoot. Don't let those darts touch you, too."
"I'll try. Please, hurry."
Lauren hung up her friend's phone.
"Patrick, come on."
He turned to her when a fifth dart came at him. Her eyes widened after seeing it.
"Run, Patrick!"
She ran to him. As she pulled him, she switched places. The dart landed on her tricep. Patrick stared at her with wide, shocked eyes.
"Lauren, what? Why'd you..."
"Fire can be used both."
Her eyelids drooped when she fell against him. He gasped, but not before he saw the dart on her arm.
"Oh, no."
Patrick quickly and gently laid her on the ground. The passenger shot another dart.
"Stop it! Leave us alone!"
He thrust the fireball at them. The passenger pulled back before it landed on his window. But Patrick saw him popping back out with a darts gun. He threw another fireball at them. At the same time, two cars arrived. One screeched to a halt, and the other parked silently behind it. A young woman left the first car. She ran to him and Lauren.
Come on, follow me.
Patrick continuously thrusted fireballs at the others.
Mr. Boyle!
He glared at her, but for a moment. How do you know my name? He asked with wide eyes.
I'm with the Nessus family. Carry Miss Cabrera to my car.
Patrick nodded and followed her. As he carried Lauren, Alex and Delilah left the second car. They rushed to the three.
What's going on? What happened to Lauren?
Alex asked. The Nessus member heard his Russian accent. She knew who he was right away.
Mr. and Mrs. Salnikov, I can't explain right now.
She opened a back car door for Patrick. He carefully put Lauren inside. He then climbed in the front passenger seat. As he did, the CRV suddenly drove off. Everyone looked in their direction. The woman grunted. She hurried to her driver's side and picked up a walkie-talkie. Patrick watched her in confusion. What are you doing?
Others got away, she spoke after pressing a button on it. Kurtap is safe, but Nirwal is unconscious from a trink dart. Over.
Copy. Bring Nirwal in after taking him home. Over.
Copy that. Over and out.
She put it back on her radio transmitter. The Nessus member got in to start her car. Alex stood in front of her car, while Delilah stood at her door.
You're not taking my sister,
she stated with crossed arms.
Mrs. Salnikov, don't you worry. Your sister can recuperate at our facility.
Her head turned to Delilah. She gave a stern expression.
Meanwhile, you must keep your distance from everyone you know. No one can know what happened here.
Why? What's the big secret? The Nessus woman studied Lauren's sister.
What? We assist people who have talents like your sister and Mr. Boyle here. We are much like a group home for people with disabilities.
Delilah then remembered what Lauren said the other day when she overheard a phone conversation. Her brows narrowed.
You mean Sunsea Industries does that? How? What do they have to do with her? She has not told you of her talent.
Miss Cabrera will tell you in time, Mrs. Salnikov, when she knows you won't react the same way you did when she was six.
What?
She asked hoarsely. Her eyes grew big as saucers.
When she's awake and healthy enough from the trink dart, we'll send her home. By then, I'm sure the information for your parents will be found.
She looked at Alex.
Mr. Salnikov, I'm only doing my job.
He glanced at his wife.
Trank darts? Who's after my sister?
Without her permission, I'm not at liberty to stay. Now let me get her somewhere safe. She waited for Delilah to get him out of the way.
You'll see her soon, Mrs. Salnikov.
When she dropped off Patrick, Lauren was still asleep. He worried for his friend. The Nessus member convinced him, though, that it would be best if he stayed indoors. He reluctantly agreed.
I just don't understand why I'm not coming with her.
The others may know where you live, and you have all the defenses by staying there. Plus, they've been trying to bring us down for years.
We can't let them find out where any of our branches are. Lauren whimpered in her sleep. Patrick glanced at her.
Griffith,
she mumbled.
Principal Griffith?
He wondered with narrowed brows. The Nessus member sighed.
Eris Griffith. Your friend knows then.
She faced Patrick.
All right, Mr. Boyle, it's time you go inside. I need to take her to base.
He grunted and left the car with his backpack.
I'll see her again, right?
She nodded.
Okay.
Thanks. By the time she arrived at her base, the tranquilizer in Lauren's system faded. Nessus members came out with a gurney to bring her inside. She slept sound for a few hours.
Nessus, help.
She mumbled. She groaned and turned on her side. As she slept, Nessus members took turns watching her.
Griffith.
Lauren tossed in a different direction.
Griffith.
She slept sound, but for a few seconds.
Principal Griffith!
She bolted up. Lauren panted while she glanced around. Relax, Miss Cabrera. You're safe.
She blinked at him. Who are you?
I'm Trevor. One of the Nessus members. You're in one of the family's branches.
Lauren groaned and rubbed the sleepiness from her eyes. Or from her face, sorry. What happened?
You fell asleep from a tranquilizer dart. We've already applied medical knowledge. You can go home whenever you please.
Tranquil. She gasped, remembering everything. Principal Griffith! She doesn't know. If the others know how to find Patrick, she needs help. Fern, Kristoff, and Stacy, they need protection.
Who?
His brows narrowed. He didn't know those names, and especially in Nessus form. They're students at school. They have Nessus talents. Noreen told me.
Miron. She's dead, Miss Cabrera.
He shook his head. I know she's dead. I saw her ghost,
she said while rolling her eyes. Lauren paused.
Wait, Miron? What kind of name is that?
Your name here is Nirwal, he said with a sly grin.
Her brows narrowed. She slowly gasped with realization. But why give us code names when it's obvious?
He chuckled. Would you prefer something else?
Maybe. I don't know.
She shrugged. Lauren observed her surroundings again.
Where'd you say we were?
She didn't recognize the room at all. One of the family's branches. Lauren looked at him in excitement.
Really? Can I walk around?
I don't think there's any harm in it.
He chuckled when she stood from her bed. She hurried out of the Nessus hospital room. When she left the hospital hall, Lauren's eyes grew big. Oh my gosh.
Inside, then outside. Office walls reached 8 feet high. Many cubicles laid out in the center. A plethora of machines lined against certain walls and several doors leading outside. With certain Nessus members, the doors could lead anywhere in the world. Lauren loved the busyness of everyone, even the ghosts she saw. There had to be at least a dozen or more. That surprised her the most. She couldn't help but wonder if their reason was the same as Noreen's.
It's good to see you're awake, Miss Cabrera,
a Nessus member said. She looked at her.
Lauren didn't recognize her. Who are you?
And I am actually going to stop there. Ooh, my, my, my.
Ooh, and I still have a few minutes left.
I think I'm actually going to go ahead and stop here, actually. As far as, you know, ending the show. The song I'm going to be ending it with is actually one of my favorites. And I actually looked up the meaning of this song. It's actually really interesting. Some people think it's a song that means, like, someone has done you wrong. It's that type of song. And I love those kind of songs because it's basically, you've done me wrong. Actually, it kind of reminds me of an old film with, Bing Crosby? Frank Sinatra? Can't remember. But, yeah, no. Do not think it. Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby have been in plenty of films. You just need to look them up. They are great singers. They are great actors. I've seen proof. I actually have one of those films. It's called High Society.
I love that film.
Thank you, Louis Armstrong. So, it is actually time for me to head out, actually. So, I am... Ow. Something's in my eyes. I think it's sweat. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and bid you all adieu, everyone. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit. I did that backwards. I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, saying goodbye with Who's Crying Now by Journey. Again, I super love this song. Bye, everyone.
Kune.